Dave.
Ian.
Apex adjacent car show, but right now it's the zeitgeist. The zeitgeist has gotten to us, and we're going to participate, and it's going to be unpleasant, but we're going to do it.
Listeners, I have no idea what Ian's talking about. I can't spell.
Oh, I think you do. I think zeitgeist. You know what you did.
Is that like, is that a medication? Because I'm on Vyvanse and Flomax. Do I need to be taking Zeitgeist now?
You also left my family group. And so you have kicked this off. Oh, yeah. Yeah, listeners. We're on subscription sharing terms. That's how good of friends we are. Uh-huh. We don't just pretend to be friends on the internet for three people's enjoyment. We're also actually friends, and we share subscriptions from time to time until this morning when Dave left our family group.
Uh-huh.
Now, I believe that this means that like Kendrick and Drake, we are also now in a rap beef, because we're like Kendrick and Drake in so many ways.
Right, exactly.
Other than feuding over our YouTube premium subscription.
Right.
I mean, you once did get mistaken for a rapper.
I did.
MC SPF 50.
I did. Yeah, man, you rap? No, I do not.
But we should have a beef.
Yeah, you and I, we should have a beef.
Yeah, we should have a really brief but spectacular beef.
Okay. I mean, I'm the one who controls the mic and the editing on this show, so I could just like cut together a supercut of you just mm-hmm. saying awful things.
Yeah, it wouldn't be hard.
Yeah, I just make like a chopped up version of you take a hard right turn, buddy.
Right. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, what? You could cancel me real fast. you have more power than anyone else in my life.
But I think it's one of those things where, like, I have the power, but it would take so much work. I couldn't do it.
See, and this is why I think, I mean, speaking for me at least, this is why I am ill-suited to a rap beef, is that I have a hard time staying angry past the point of effort. Right? Okay. I don't want to ever put effort into my anger.
Okay. Yeah, you just kind of want everything to move along.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean,
okay.
I'll definitely be like, well, fuck that guy. But
true.
About as far as it's going to go.
Okay. Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah.
I feel like I would be really bad at rap beefs. I'd be like, and they make less than optimal choices when it comes to sock accoutrements. I don't know. Yeah. Like, yeah. Yeah.
Hey, my name is Dave, and I'm here to say you're just pretty okay.
Has it been 3 days since you've shaved? Oh, sick burn.
Have you ever seen, it was one of the Comedy Central roasts where Andy Samberg did a bit where he was really bad. The bit was that he was really bad at roasting.
No, and
he just gave compliments, but in the rhythm of a roast. It was really funny.
Nice. Yeah. I feel like I would be the one that would have a nice off. Yeah. Instead of rap battles, if like competitive complimenting was a thing, I would.
Right.
I think I would be in the running.
For sure. I mean, I know that you would, and I, and honestly, it would be more effective at me with me than a rap battle.
Right. Than like getting burned. Right.
I mean, insults. I'll take those all day.
I'm just a pin cushion over here.
There's nothing you could do. But if you gave me like three compliments in a row, I would be in a ball on the floor.
But but I couldn't say anything mean about it. I just have to keep saying nice things about it. Otherwise, yeah. You'd get up and clap back.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And so I think at here at the close of our long and epic rap beef, it brings me to a license plate game that I made.
Neither of us want to be Drake in this scenario. I just want to go on record saying that.
Right. Right. Yeah. Everybody, stop. If you don't know what we're talking about, don't stop this. Stop watching this or mm-hmm. listening to this and go educate yourself on the Drake Kendrick battle, and or just listen to some Kendrick Lamar albums, because I mean, am I right in saying, is he the first Pulitzer Prize winner to be in a rap beef?
He's won a Pulitzer Prize.
He ran it, yeah.
I think so. Yeah.
I mean, imagine starting a beef that is based around lyrical content with somebody who literally won a Pulitzer Prize for it.
Right. On top of that, it's somebody that has such dense lyrical content to their work.
Yeah.
Right? Like, dense and very, like, I don't know. Kendrick can always hone. Yeah, sharp. Thank you. Yes.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. It's just...
I know who I'm going to pick a fight with. Mike fucking Tyson.
Right. I mean, it's basically like you're really good at the arcade punching thing. And so you like, I'm going to just go ahead and challenge Mike Tyson. You're
exactly right. A lot of people watch me play this arcade game. I got a bunch of tickets.
Oh, I got a top time of the week at the go-kart track. Max Verstappen. Let's go.
Yeah. You bitch.
Right. And then just coming in with lots of confidence.
Yes. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Pretty fantastic.
Yeah. So there's a few good Reddit summations, some good summations on Reddit. What is the one subreddit? I think it's Out of the Loop. I don't know if you've ever happened across that one. It does a good, usually there's, if something is going on in the public sphere, there's usually a good Reddit thread on Out of the Loop. I think that's the subreddit.
Okay.
You know, somebody would be like, what is the deal? Like, they all read like Seinfeld setup bits. What's the deal with Kendrick and Drake?
Right. Yeah. You know, I did weigh in on our Blue Sky with...
Really? Yeah, pop the link in the talk about so I can share it with the folks. Okay. With
what is obviously the most important piece of this, because if you don't know the history of how this all started... you know, it started with a song which was a J. Cole and Drake song. Mm-hmm. What was it? Well, what's it called? First Person Shooter. Uh-huh. And in the video for that, there's a shot of them playing chess with one another.
Okay.
And obviously, we know that Kendrick has won this rap beef because the chessboard is set up incorrectly. That's as far as my insight goes. That's how I watch rap videos. I examine the chessboards.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's turned 90 degrees. The white square is supposed to go on the right. And nice. So everything is one square off of where it should be.
I can tell you what. Wu-Tang would never fuck that up. Raekwon.
That's exactly right.
Genius, that RZA.
That's exactly right.
Right? Yeah, let's pull up a Liquid Swords album cover, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They would definitely get that correct.
In fact, they put out a special edition of that album with a chessboard.
Did they really?
Yep. Uh-huh.
I need that. I need to get that
now. Chess set vinyl. Yeah, there you go.
We've really gone down the rabbit hole.
This is not a motive podcast. Is this now your album of the week?
It should be. I didn't know that this existed. I'm going to need this now.
It was a Record Store Day exclusive. Yeah. Yeah.
What?
Yep. Oh, so it's a Wu-Tang chess. I'm just kind of disappointed that they didn't like actually make the chess pieces like, you know, right? Like the Wu-Tang members, you know, because I want to see if ODB was a chess piece, who would ODB be?
Oh, right. I mean, he'd be a knight.
Right? Yeah. Right. An erratic move. Yeah.
Super erratic.
Yeah. That you somehow duct taped a bishop to.
Right.
Yeah. So anyway, there you go. Okay. I do like that you're providing the succinct commentary on the rat beef by calling out, the chessboard setup. Very good, Ian. Very good.
But I also like, because Drake is like this in it. Like he's really deep in thought. Like he's actually playing chess. And of the rappers that are like really popular, I'm going to say that Drake is the least likely to actually play chess.
Exactly. So. Yeah. I like J. Cole. Like I do. I think that he is a talented dude. I just hope he's able to like skirt all of this. Somebody posted, I think like, so they were saying like J. Cole, hopefully it was like Indiana Jones, like getting his hat out, you know.
There's been so many memes about like the person who won this is J. Cole, because he just was like,
because nobody's talking about him.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Which does seem like mission accomplished. Man.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So there you go.
To celebrate the resolution of our rat beef.
Oh man, that was a rocky one, Ian. I like that Ian froze up right there.
I have a license plate game with a theme.
Okay. All right. Let's see. Does it need a preface?
This is sort of, I feel like a lot of these have a big Dave energy.
Oh, BDE.
Yeah.
But it's Dave.
But it's Dave. Big Dave energy. Okay. And, it is called Feeling Seen at the DMV.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah. I think you're going to like this one. Okay. But yeah. I feel like this is a good, being a good friend. License plate games.
Well, that's very sweet of you. Thank you, Ian. All right, now. Let's see the plans. Okay, here we go. Coming in with Big Dave energy. Let's do this. Feeling seen at the DMV. All right. Okay, here we go.
Yeah.
All right. So up top, we have a black Mercedes C300. We have in the middle, we have a putty kind of gray Ford Maverick pick 'em up truck. Love them. They're so great. And then at the bottom, we have a blue 4Runner. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Fairly modern 4Runner. Okay. And then the license plates say, do you boo? Like you do you boo, but it's just do you boo. And then good on ya. Yeah. Good on ya. And then keep going. Yeah. Well, I have to say something I say all the time. I got from you, Ian. I say it all the time now. You're doing great. I got that from you.
But usually when I say it, I think it's sarcastic. But I think you...
I genuinely say it.
I know. I know, because I've noticed, I have heard you say that. I didn't realize you get it from me, but I do, now that you say that, I do say it when I'm like, things are great, and I usually do not mean it.
You have said it to me as like a pick-me-up before, so you have.
I think I know what you mean.
It like, was
what
big, sort of big, do you need juice energy?
Yes, I think that's what it is. Yes.
My 6'4", 220-pound friend is a toddler energy.
Let's get you a juice, buddy.
Yes. And okay. In fact,
yes.
My wife and I were joking because she went out of town, right? And we were joking that she was going to pack me in her suitcase. And the person at like the baggage check-in is going to be like, why does your suitcase weigh 220 pounds? And then Kelly was like, and you just hear a muffled, you're doing great from the suitcase. Yeah. So thank you, Ian. Thank you for bringing that into my life. You've also given me,
first time anyone has ever said that I taught them an affirmational phrase of any sort.
We also,
it's not usually my forte.
We also say we yike something, like Gus said way back in the day. Yeah.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So, no, no, yike it.
Yeah. No, yike it. Yeah. Yeah. So we say we yike it or no, no, yike it. Yeah. But anyway, yeah, this is interesting because if, from what I've seen, I have to say, as an observer of Toyota 4Runner vanity plates lately, are 4Runner people okay? Are they okay? Because right. I've got some plates that show some 4Runner people have some mixed up stuff going on. I'm not really at liberty to speak about it because they're all going in a license plate game eventually. But man, I and some listeners have seen some stuff specifically out of white Toyota 4Runners. I don't know what it is, but I want to make sure that they're okay. So if you have a white Toyota 4Runner and you're struggling, call 720-515-1391. No one will answer. So
we are not here to help.
So 4Runner, I don't know. 4Runner is like just like just a down the middle vehicle like that is enjoyed by so many, such a cross section of people, right? So I think it's that one's a little difficult for me to park initially, you know. I think that when you look at a Ford Maverick, I think you and I project an enthusiastic dad energy, a psyched dad energy about a Ford Maverick, because like when our buddy Jessica Ray was on the show, Ford Maverick owner now, right? She was talking about how psyched her dad was about the Ford Maverick and, you know, right? Like that's a truck dads love, right? And so like the one that I feel like might have the most kind of like complication behind it here might be the Mercedes, you know? I don't know. I'm just, yeah, I don't know. And that's probably projection, but I don't know. Who out of these three is going to use Boo on a plate? Is it going to be the 4Runner? Maybe like a 3 out of 10 chance. The Mercedes, 7 out of 10 chance. The Ford Maverick, probably 1 or 2. Right. So I'm going a little process of elimination here. Maybe Do You Boo is going to be on the Mercedes, but that's kind of where my head's at now. And so then we have Keep Going and Good On Ya. I feel like Good On Ya is like has big like Northern Midwest energy, and I feel like a Toyota 4Runner like has big like Minnesota like energy
a little bit,
right? Yeah. And so I think I want to put Good On Ya on the 4Runner and Keep Going on the Maverick. Yeah. Yeah, that's kind of where my head's at. So
okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
I think you're going to be pleased.
Okay. All right. Here we go. Feeling seen at the DMV. Oh, Good On Ya. Oh, Good On Ya on the Ford. Do You Boo on the Mercedes. So I got that one right and Keep Going. Oh, these are all in order. Okay. Oh,
I thought, I'm sorry. I had misheard you. I thought you said it, Keep Going on the 4Runner.
No problem. Yeah. 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 That's awesome.
You nailed the Mercedes because, and I was confirmed. Well, I was also confirming that I got her name right. But whenever I see a Mercedes C300 specifically, I always think it's being driven by Retta from Parks and Rec.
Yes,
because that's what she drove in that show, and I think it was like that's perfect car casting.
Yes,
she's
right.
So like bubbly and kick herself and like the best.
Yeah, yeah. Treat yourself, right? Mm-hmm. And she
can't she doesn't have a C300. She has this.
She has an ML. Yeah.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
Yeah, but she would occasionally bring up her Mercedes, which was, you're exactly right. That was fantastic car casting.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I actually think that Maverick, I think it fits really, really well.
Yeah, right? Yeah, good on you.
Good on you.
Yeah, right? Like a gym teacher that's happy you managed to dodge a fucking ball for once.
Right. And it's just because it's like the anti aggro pickup truck owner.
Yeah.
Is in a Maverick.
You're exactly right. Yeah. As kind of like adorable as, or not adorable, but as like quirky as the Jeep Gladiator was when it came out, because it was a little Jeep truck, right? Mm-hmm. Like it should, like it absolutely got angry eye treatment right off the hop, right? Yeah. But nobody's bringing that energy to a Ford Maverick, at least from what I can see.
No.
Right?
No, I agree. Yeah, I mean, it would be funny if somebody just put one of those Jeep angry aggros on a Ford Maverick. It would look ridiculous, but
it would. It would.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah. I just thought these were all very big Dave energy.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Ian. That's very
squash
sweet
our beef. We had to squash our beef with this.
Beef's behind us, man. That's it. That's in the past, buddy.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then we're going to have beef about how quickly our beef ended.
Right. Right.
Also, are you hungry for beef?
At all, did we? We didn't get through all our stuff.
Are you hungry for beef right now? Do you want a sandwich?
Beef. Uh-huh. Thank you, Ben, for sending in the picture of the Maverick with the good on your plate.
Absolutely. Thank you, Ben. For sure. Yeah. Awesome, man. Okay. So what else you got? Ian's DJing the show tonight, everybody. He's going to tell us what's going on.
I want to see what this is from Eric.
Oh, yeah.
Requesting a higher Patreon tier.
Yes. So our buddy Eric did send us a text message. We love you, Eric. Very thankful that we found you because of the show. Longtime listener and friend. But he's requesting a higher Patreon tier, Ian. And this is something a few people have suggested. Mm-hmm. We don't necessarily have an interest in doing it until now.
Mm.
So he said that he just kind of wants us to have a higher tier so that we can buy this. And that, Ian, is a Tri-Magnum special that's available on Haggerty for $6,200.
What
it is a 2023 this? Tri-Magnum special constructed. I like
this 1981 over here.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
On the, but on then the right
up here, 2023. Yeah. So, yes. Yeah, so it is an adorable little kind of micro car with almost like a canvas hammock for a seat.
Oh my God.
Uh-huh. Where do your feet, like you sit like an F1 driver with your feet like,
yeah,
in like a yoga pose, like, yeah.
Oh my gosh, so your feet are on either side of the steering column.
Yeah, and I just showed socked feet on the podcast. Does that mean we do a higher Patreon tier?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Also, these gauges, I feel like, so my grandfather had, I believe, a Honda motorcycle this vintage, and these gauges look extremely familiar to me.
Oh, let's see what the engine is. Okay, yeah. So I think if we were to have a higher Patreon tier that funded this, we would just have to drive this to the Patreon subscribers' houses and just show up and shake their hands and then leave.
Yeah.
Hey, Ian, a 1981 Honda Goldwing is the drivetrain. Good call, buddy. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Honda Tri-Magnum is a three-wheeled kit car that was first introduced in 1981. Designed by Robert Q. Riley. I don't know any of this. I'm reading it on the site for audio listeners that suddenly thought I knew a bunch about Tri-Magnums. Yeah. A prominent kit car designer who created other popular cars like the XR3 and the Locost. Do you know what the Locost is? It's just L-O-C-O-S-T. We'll Google that. Yeah. I don't know. Okay, 0 to 60 in 6 seconds. This thing can reach 100 miles an hour, Ian.
Nope.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. No, it fucking can't. Not when we're driving it. We're nail gutting a block of 2x4 underneath the gas pedal so it only goes down like a third of the way.
Yeah. I will say that as crazy as this thing looks, also, those seatbelts do absolutely nothing.
Nothing at all. Just lap belts, yeah.
Oh, wait, does the roof go up?
Yeah, it does. It has like a convertible roof. Oh God, somehow I went into full screen. Sorry about that. Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
You would make every slingshot owner look extra dweeby if you showed up in this, I feel like.
You would. I think you would.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's no shots of it with the roof up. I wonder if it doesn't work.
Maybe. Yeah, there's just these shots of it with it like kind of partially up. Maybe that's how it is. I don't know. Maybe that's just where it got stuck.
Right.
Yeah.
Doesn't seem right.
No.
That is wild. What are those wheels from?
I don't know. They look pretty cool. Kind of like a snowflake. Yeah. Let's see if it says. Yeah. It doesn't say where the wheels came from.
Yeah.
Yeah. It has a 4-speaker stereo system. Yeah. Ian, let me call out what I think is the map light in quite possibly the most awkward position you've ever seen. I think this here, what is this here in the middle? Is that a map light?
I think
light?
You might be right. I think it might be. No, it's a handle.
Yeah, but for what? Getting in and out, maybe? There's like Probably. A hinge on it. Unless this is like a Mr. Garrison vehicle and that has to be inserted somewhere.
Well, and then what's this lever for in the middle?
Right, I think that might be your gear selector.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh, God. Sorry. It keeps going full screen on me. I don't know what's going on with this site. It's got some fun scripting.
This is pretty wild.
Yeah.
Does it have a gas? Does it have a pedal?
Oh, yeah. Oh, you're right. Would it have a hand throttle?
Is this, oh my God, that is just.
That's a motorcycle handlebar. That's all it is.
Yes. Turn 90 degrees.
Yeah. That's all it is.
That's all your turn signals are and stuff are there.
Yeah.
Like, look at, it's the stall. It's the handlebar.
I would click to zoom in, but I'm very afraid. Open image in new tab. Let's try that.
There you go.
Yeah. Yep. So there's all the controls.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because, it doesn't look like there's no pedals.
No, there are not. It's all hand driven.
What?
This is wild. This handle is freaking me out. What is this thing doing here? I don't know.
I don't know.
Yeah, that is very odd.
What shape of human is this?
I think that's what gets the Patreon funds rolling in, Ian, is the people looking at us shoehorning ourselves into this vehicle. Yeah.
There's no way that can't be the throttle, right? You drive it with one hand on the steering wheel and one hand on this?
I think so. Let's do new tab. How to drive Tri-Magnum Special.
Yeah, this is, we've now, we're now firmly down a rabbit hole.
Yeah. Host centric excitement on three wheels. Okay. Let's see here.
It's exciting.
Yeah. I'm going to look for throttle. Nothing. Yeah. Pedal. Okay. Accelerator and brake pedals are mounted on the floor, just like those of a conventional automobile. Huh. Okay. So maybe that's the clutch, like a motorcycle?
Or maybe it's just your turn signals and stuff?
Yeah.
I'm very curious if this is, because this is a kit car too, right? Mm-hmm. So did somebody just do something really strange here?
Yeah, maybe there's versions of the kit car and like...
Because these pictures look a lot different.
They sure do. They sure do. Oh, this is weird.
Wait, hold on, stop. Yeah. Oh, go back down. Driving Tri-Magnum is as unique as the vehicle itself. Shifting is done with the jet fighter style control stick that emerges from the floor between the occupants. The control stick carries the handlebar controls from the motorcycle, which are now stacked back to back against each other.
Okay. There you go.
The clutch lever is also mounted on the control stick. Just shift gears, grab the control stick, squeeze the clutch lever, then move the stick either forward or rearward, depending on whether you are upshifting or downshifting. So it's set up like a sequential.
Yeah.
Oh, that's weird.
Right?
That would be hard to
It would, do. Right? Yeah, you gotta like squeeze the thing and
especially upshifting, I would think, would be right. Hard. and like release and pull.
And aren't motorcycles like one up, two down, three up, four up, five up? Like they have like a weird sequence. Yeah, I'm like
guessing that this is different. This must be set up like a sequential, though.
Yeah, right. Surely. Yeah.
The stick is connected by a short link to the foot lever that is normally used to shift gears on the motorcycle, so the shift pattern is identical. Oh, okay.
Oh,
so you're right.
Okay.
So you do have to like.
Yeah, oh, man, one up, two down. I think that's it, right? One up, two down, three up, four up.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
Oh man, that would be.
Have you driven a motorcycle that you switch gears on like that?
I have. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's. I think if I remember right, it's down to get in the first gear and then everything is up after that.
Okay. Here we go. Okay. So you've got neutral, down first gear, second up 30. Okay. Okay. Mm-hmm. Interesting. Yeah. So you go second neutral, then first.
Yeah.
Wild. Okay. Interesting.
That would be really hard.
That would be so complicated. Like, I feel like I would be able to putter that thing around in like second gear at the most and stall it constantly.
But how do you release the clutch and pull back at the same time? You almost have to drive it like this, right? Like
audio listeners, you're missing out on some sweet hand motion.
There's some terrible hand motions going on.
Yeah. Ian and I are milking cows and driving dry magnums.
That's the top Patreon tier right there. Right. Simulate driving
a tri-magnum. Yeah. So there you go. Thank you, Eric, for sending us that because, yeah, that's wild.
You know, haunt my dreams.
Uh-huh.
Again, where does the other one go?
You know what this thing in the middle is, Ian? That's a foot peg from a motorcycle.
You're right. It is.
Yeah, that's what that is. It's a foot peg. So
climb down into it.
To climb down into it. That's what it is.
Wouldn't your shoulder be against? That'd be weird.
Yeah. And obviously it folds up like a foot peg on a motorcycle does. But yeah, you hit one wrong button, a kickstand fires into your ass. Yeah.
I mean, honestly, it looks like a Goldwing just got into an accident.
It does. And like this thing on the left hand side here, like the whatever this is controlling is not great.
Yeah. This is like, do you like the whole thing with, I can't remember which dinosaur it was, but when it was first discovered, when the bones were first discovered, scientists put they think now that they put the bones together incorrectly.
Oh, I think it's the brontosaurus like, that like never really existed. Yeah.
Yes. It was one of those. Right.
Uh-huh.
And I feel like an archaeologist excavated a gold wing
that had collided with like a classic Mini Cooper or something.
Right. And now its femur is sticking out of its skull.
Right. Nope. That's what the science says. This is what they look like. And it had feathers.
Yeah. I also appreciate that the engine just sits at 3000 RPM. That's good.
This gauge just has it sitting at 3000 RPM. Yeah. Yeah.
This whole thing is wild.
It really is. It really is. Yes.
It looks sketchy as hell. And now I really want to drive one.
Yeah. So if anybody has a line on a Tri-Magnum, get a hold of us, get them in touch with us because we need to drive it for sure.
Yeah. I want to take it to autocross.
Yeah.
Yes. I want to die at autocross in this.
With a 6 minute and 30 second run.
Also on fire.
Right. Uh-huh. Exactly. Yeah. So thank you, Eric, for sending that in because that is I've never known what a Tri-Magnum is. Yeah.
The more questions I have.
Like, yeah. I like that this cup holder over here is definitely broken.
Uh-huh.
You know, like there's this one over here that has both wings on it and this one snapped off and they're like, you know what? We're not taking these two sheetrock screws out of this fiberglass.
Because if you do, just a bunch of water comes out.
I mean, it is. Yeah, it is. What's in this little green box over here? I don't know. This is good call on the Honda gauges, man. Yeah. Wild. That's
crazy.
Yeah. Oh, I don't know. Yeah. What's the mileage on this thing? How far has someone driven this? That's what I'm curious about.
Oh, that's a good question.
Okay. Engine, body, interior, no specifications. Yes,
has all of those.
Yes. Request more info. I would love more info. Oh, you know what? Maybe we can see the odometer here. 9,356 miles it has done. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the Goldwing crashed at 9,350 miles. Uh-huh. And then since this recreation, it's done 6 miles.
Yeah.
I really want to know, these wheels are bothering me because I feel like I know I've seen these.
Yeah, those are great. Like, are they classic BMW wheels? They have that kind of vibe. They're 5-spoke pattern.
You know what? I think they might be Trans Am wheels.
Oh, okay. Okay.
1980s. Ian's
Googling.
Trans Am wheels.
Yeah, like 1986 or 1989. Yeah.
I think it could be.
Yeah.
Like early 80s, I think.
Yeah.
Like 1980. Like look up a 1980 Trans Am wheel.
Okay. All right. Yeah. 1980. OEM. We're going OEM on this Mammer Jammer. We thought we didn't have much to talk about tonight. No, you're right, Ian. Good call. Oh, that's it. Yeah. The Trans Am Snowflake.
Yeah.
That's it. Good call, dude.
Okay. Well, that's the show.
Later, jerks. Tell us how much you would pay on a monthly basis for us to put all of that money towards legitimately buying a Tri-Magnum.
And then we're going to need another tier above that to pay for our hospital bills, obviously.
Yes. I mean, I have to say, we could probably fit it in my garage with my Fiat it would be a tandem bay. I think the Tri-Magnum could fit underneath my bicycles in the back of my garage. Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
I think you could pick up the back end and turn it around and just like pivot it and drop it. Yeah. I think it'd be easy to move around. Yeah.
Yeah. I think you're probably right.
So.
Oh my God. This is amazing.
Yeah. Let us know how much you'd pay and we will take that into consideration. Okay.
Don't take it into consideration. We won't. We're not going to do this. This is crazy. It's crazy.
But, I mean.
But we could.
We could.
But what if we did?
I mean,
we shouldn't.
We shouldn't, but, I mean, we could do something like this. I mean,
we won't, but what if we did? Right.
Okay. Okay. Well, thank you, Eric. That was fantastic. Really appreciate you, buddy, for sure.
A plus.
Yeah. I hope you're doing well, man. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. There is a certain genre of license plate that vanity plate that every time I see him, I think about Eric. So, Eric, I'm going to text you one in a little while here. Yeah.
So, okay.
There you go. Okay. All right.
I think I have so here's what else we have. I have a rental car report.
Uh-huh.
Why don't we pick like one thing from the listener things?
Yeah. Do you want to do the highs and lows of Facebook Marketplace? Because okay. Okay.
Yeah. That sounds great.
Okay. So our buddy Brian texted this over. I really appreciate you folks sending this stuff over. To the text messages because this gives us life. So Brian, thank you for this because I think he sent us the highs and lows, whether he realized it or not. But here's the high. We'll start with that. If you're good with that. Okay. Yeah. I think you're going to dig this car, Ian. This has a vibe. Yeah. Okay.
Oh yeah.
Right. Tell the folks what you see here, buddy.
The 1987 Dodge Shelby Lancer. Mm-hmm. Man, it looks really good.
It's red with all the black accents or the black scents, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
The paint looks four-door, amazing.
It almost looks like a four-door Fox body in the back.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
right.
It is aged well. I forgot about this car.
Me too. Because I always think of like the Shelby, what is it? The Shelby Omni or whatever it is.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. That our buddy Adam had one, right? Or he had a Dodge.
I mean, I forgot the Lancer existed.
Yeah. Yep. Right.
I mean, I don't know. Can't remember the last time I saw one of these. No, never mind a Shelby. Like just.
Yeah. I thought I had a friend just after high school that may have had one.
Okay.
Yeah, but not, I'm not the Shelby Lancer. Yeah.
Yeah. This looks really cool.
Was it like in the early days of the partnership with Mitsubishi? Is this when Mitsubishi and Dodge had some cross-pollination of parts?
It would have been. I don't know if this was one of them.
Okay.
I'm looking it up now.
Yeah, I vaguely remember something about Mitsubishi and the Lancer having some things in common. Yeah, folks, correct me if I'm wrong. But yeah, this looks super clean. I mean, it is clean. It's got 103,000 miles on it. It looks like it has 20,000 miles on it.
So this is the four-door version of the LeBaron.
Oh, that's right. Okay. Okay.
Okay.
Lancer number 341. Wow.
It's a five-door hatchback.
Yep. What do we have for motors on these things?
A total of 800 of the Shelbys were produced.
Oh, wow.
Half of them had a five-speed manual.
Oh, cool. Okay. This one has an automatic.
While 400 were equipped with a three-speed automatic in leather.
Okay. So
you get the leather with an automatic.
Or cloth in the manual.
With the manual. Nice.
Everybody that's looking at the YouTube stream now that grew up in the back of a minivan like I did is remembering this exact fucking stereo with the five equalizer sliders and the balanced joystick, like a Gravis PC gamepad, the Infinity system. Right?
Man. Very cool.
Yeah. Yeah. You've got an oil fill gauge, you have water temperature gauge, you got the voltage gauge, the fuel. This is a cool ass car, man. Yeah.
What's the description say?
Excellent condition. Outstanding condition, age too many, new parts to list, fully sorted, ready to enjoy, wallet appreciates. Yeah, they don't have much at all. I think it's one of those ones, like if you know, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what else?
What's a turbo?
Yeah, that's what I'm wondering. What do you got for drivetrain data on this thing, Hacker Ian?
Yeah, so the Shelbys had the trim changes. They also included a modified suspension, four-wheel disc brakes, and a CD player.
Oh, hell yeah. Okay. Dude, in the 80s, that was amazing. This has a cassette deck, though. Yeah.
Okay, so the intercooled turbo 2 engine came with the manual, and you had 175 horsepower.
Okay.
The automatic variant was equipped with the Turbo 1, which I think is just non-intercooled, and it had 146 horsepower.
Oh, okay. Okay. Interesting. Yeah, they just couldn't make the intercooler plumbing work with all this stuff.
With the automatic, probably.
Yeah.
Or the torque would have been too much for it.
Yeah. Interesting. Interesting. Yeah, this thing is clean, man.
It is, yeah.
That's a cool ass car, dude. Yeah. So thank you, Brian, for sending us that. Look at how clean those freaking strut towers are, man. That's amazing.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Oh, there's back to the Tri-Magnum. Yeah. Man, and the wheels look great. They're basket weaves. Yeah.
Those are cool.
Right. Okay, so then Ian, here's the lows of Facebook Marketplace. It is a listing, Ian, for a Toyota Yaris. And here you go. 2014 Toyota Yaris. I don't know if it's a joke listing or not. It's pretty funny, though, because it shows it parked underwater.
It's a Yaris submarine.
Yes. And read the description because it's fucking gold.
Selling for my grandmother, ran when parked, for sale, not on sale, don't waste my time.
Yes. So thank you for taking us on this journey.
Is it only the one picture?
That's the only picture. Oh, and there's like a scuba diver near it. Yeah. Yeah. There you go.
That's pretty funny.
Right? Here, do you want to reverse image search this? Yeah. See what we come up with? Yeah. Google images.
That's a great idea because I'm guessing it's from like a news story or something, right?
Right. Yeah. Search by image. For anybody who doesn't know how to do this, this is how you do it. This is how you find people's stuff on the internet. Okay. Yeah. Ontario yeah, woman falls.
A bunch of different news stories. Yeah.
Yep. Follows GPS straight into a lake. So it was somebody who followed their GPS straight into a lake. Yep. Yep. And it's always funny when you see like articles like this that like make it all the way to other language blogs and news sites and stuff, right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Especially when it's an American post, it's like, no, we're dumb. This person was so dumb, it's internationally dumb. Right? It's a dumbness that turned
stupid.
Yes. Dumbness somehow got a passport. Yeah. Yeah.
Idiocy is very well traveled.
Yeah. Got a visa somehow.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. So there you go. So thank you very much, Brian, for sending us those. We really appreciate it. Yeah. Okay.
The park is pretty fantastic.
Yeah. And we'll save some other stuff for next time. Yeah. Jesse's got some stuff and because she had a rental car to report on as well. So yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But anyway, next episode.
I had a rental car.
Okay. Did you drive it into a lake?
I did not drive it, although I was tempted to.
Okay.
So this is a car that we drove last summer and we liked, and I spent more time with it last week, and now I don't like it.
Really? Okay. So what did we drive last summer? We drove a Subaru RS. We drove a Lexus IS500. We drove a Prius
Prime. If I had a Lexus IS500 as my rental car.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I would be in jail right now.
You would be. Yeah. We drove a Prius Prime. We drove the Crown. Yeah. Was it a Crown? Did you have a rental Crown?
I had a rental Crown.
No. What?
Yeah. I was at the rental car place and the lady was like, I rented the full size and they were like, oh, we're out of full sizes. And so she was going to put me in an SUV and I was like, by myself.
Yeah.
And I was like, do you have like a car?
Right.
And so she brought me over to the cars and I was like, oh, I'll take that if that's okay. And she's like, sure. So I took the Crown and mostly it was how I remembered it. Like it's pretty nice inside. It's very comfortable.
Yeah.
Even in rental spec, it's comfortable. But it has this thing called, and I want to make sure that I have it right.
Okay.
Proactive driving assist.
I'm sorry. I stepped on that a bit. What was it?
Proactive driving assist.
Proactive driving assist. Okay. All right.
And so it's this driver aid system. But I just noticed like when I let off the accelerator and I thought it's a hybrid. So I thought it was just regen coming in a lot more. But it was braking for me when I was in traffic and stuff.
Oh
yeah. And so it's to like give you more space with cars in front, or if it detects you're on a corner, it'll do it.
Hmm.
And I hated the sensation. And I just read like tonight when I was looking it up, like, oh, there are ways to turn it off. I couldn't figure out how to turn it off while I was driving it.
Okay.
It was awful. Like, cause it just like, it just means that you don't know what's going to happen.
Right.
It's like in the first, you know, little bit of the travel of the brake pedal, or when you first come off the accelerator, you know, you get into a car and you learn how much kind of like roll there is. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Like how you kind of need to manage that like coasting factor to the vehicle. Right.
Yeah. And you know, if you're an okay driver, you figure that out in the first like 150 yards.
Yeah.
And then you kind of got it. Right.
Yeah.
But it's different every time because sometimes it's like, oh, you need to brake more.
There's something that the computer's seeing, right?
Right. But it doesn't tell you when it's doing it. And so like it just makes this feeling of I don't know what's going to happen when I press anything or do anything.
Oh, weird. Okay.
Just a really terrible way to drive.
Yeah.
It's not good.
That sucks, man.
It's really disconcerting and like the opposite of confidence inspiring.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, because I think that that's almost making the assumption that your behavior needs to be corrected, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah. From Toyota's copy, this is directly from their Safety Sense website on Toyota.com. Proactive driving assist. When system operating conditions are met, using the vehicle's camera and radar, Proactive Driving Assist, PDA, also a great Interpol song, provides gentle braking into curves or gentle braking and or steering to help support such driving tasks such as distance control between your vehicle and a preceding vehicle, pedestrian or bicyclist.
Yeah.
That's wild.
So like on ramps and stuff.
Yeah.
You know, so you come off the, you know, you do like a little lift before you get, if you're taking an on ramp with some speed, you do a little lift, right?
Right.
But then it detects there's a curve coming up and like slams on the brakes.
Yeah.
So then you jump back on the gas and it's just like, it's right. Just make you a worse driver.
Right. And just constantly upset the vehicle's balance.
Yeah.
Yeah. Weird. It's, man.
Like, and I get what they're going for. And I guess if you were staring at your smartphone instead of driving.
True. Okay.
This would be useful.
Okay.
But if you're driving, it's actively harmful.
That's a great point, Ian. That's a great point.
Yeah. I did not care for it. So, this feature is pretty half-baked, I think.
Sure. Yeah.
And there's not like a button.
Yeah.
There's no button that says Proactive Driving Assist. And it doesn't even tell you when it's doing it. It just doesn't.
Yeah. Weird.
I was trying to play with the radar cruise control. I couldn't figure it out.
Yeah.
I think there is a way to turn it off apparently, but I haven't figured out how to do it.
Yeah. I'm looking for how to turn it off. Yeah. And a lot of people are talking. There's a bunch of YouTube videos about it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, something is bugging a lot of people. If like one of the first five results that comes up is a Reddit thread specifically about the thing, right?
It's really just intrusive and like I said, it's just disconcerting. Like it just gives you, you know, like we've talked about it before about like, you know, like in a race car or in a cart or whatever.
Sure.
If you have confidence, you can in knowing what the cart or the car is going to do when you do a thing.
Yes.
That makes you way, way faster than any like upgrade to like horsepower would, right? Just exactly. Having confidence that when you press the brake pedal, it's going to do the thing that you want it to do.
Right. Consistently. Yeah.
Consistency. Yes.
Right.
And this is the opposite of that. So it's just like I don't know what, if it's going to trust my input or not.
This is the Proactive driving assist screen on a Corolla. Yeah.
Yeah. And I saw stuff like that.
Yeah. But at some point you're getting a light bright. And you're not going to look at the manual for all this stuff because these icons are not intuitive.
Yeah. Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, yeah, it was just confusing and like baffling because the first couple times it did it, I was just like, is it like the hybrid regen?
Yeah.
That's weird or like what is happening?
I
thought it was going crazy because usually, you know, even if it's like adaptive cruise control or something, it'll show you something.
Exactly. Exactly. Right. Or my Infiniti with the radar cruise control would show a little pixelated car, right?
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
when you would feel it break, and as it got closer to like the zone, you would see this little car coming in, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
And even like lane keep assist it'll show you the little like
the green bars. Yeah.
The green bars. This nothing.
I like our karate moves. The green bars. There was one thing about my LS460 that was that still catches me off guard when it happens. So if you're coasting, but you're coasting on a downhill grade, it holds the gear.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it won't just like keep upshifting to get to a smoother coasting gear. It and this is like on the normal setting, there's no modifications or anything like that. it holds the gear while you're coasting. Yeah, it's great.
Yeah.
But like when it happened, it was like, oh, this is like, is my transmission freaking out? Like what's going on? Cause you hear the car revving at an RPM that you're like, but we're going downhill. Like it should be nothing. No, the car is like holding the gear and it's like maintaining a pretty constant speed, just coasting. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But like, but I mean, it does better. It consistently. I learned real quick that it happened anytime I was going downhill.
Right. Yeah. And this is just, it wasn't consistent because it's sometimes it's before corners and sometimes it thinks, oh, that car's going too slow or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, and it happened. Oh, this was the worst one was it would on ramps, you know, I can see that the lanes to the left of me are clear.
Right.
Right. And so I'm going to close up a little bit because I know I have an escape route that I'm already planning on using before I run into the back of the person in front of me because I'm paying attention.
Yeah, go figure. You're in the left lane before you even get on the highway.
I mean, I actually am a stickler about this. I do not cross the solid white line.
No.
Will wait.
I am too. You know I am. I'm a rule follower boy. Yeah.
Yeah. Because again, I don't like to surprise people.
That's right. Exactly.
I'm going to tell you, hey, I'm about to be aggressive. But you're going to know it's coming.
When I'm a dick, it is within the legal parameters that allow me to be a dick.
Right. Right. But so I would, and then so I would like kind of like try to meter my speed to match.
Sure.
So that way I could get, you know, be on the dotted line at the right time.
Exactly.
But then I would slow down a bunch and I was like,
what is happening?
Yeah,
that's crazy. That sucks.
Yeah, it was weird.
Yeah, I don't like that, Ian.
Yeah,
me either. I don't like that. How many times when you were driving that, did you just shout, "Hello, Toyota"?
I did. I did yell that, and I was also just yelling at the car. Like, what are you doing? Why are you doing this to me?
Hello, Toyota.
Why are we back again?
Hang on.
Hello, Toyota.
Yep. Yeah. Toyota Crown, everybody. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Turn that shit off.
Okay. Well, I'm sorry that you had a bummer experience with the Crown. At least it was a nice place to be. It's just weird that it would throw such weird shit at you. But you're completely right. It is a system targeted to fix a problem that should not exist in the first place.
Yeah.
Right. So we have developed, like, it would be one thing if it was like collision detection, like the emergency braking stuff, which, you know, has bailed several of us that are listening to this show out. Like if you have a car that has emergency braking, there's a good chance that it has actually stepped in sometime for you. Mm-hmm. Right. My wife's RX has it. It has actually stepped in and prevented her from rear-ending someone. You know?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Those like stop and go shit on the highway happen so fast. Right. And, that it'd be one thing if it was that, you know, like emergency circumstances, but it's like, no, this is a normal driving circumstance that the system is designed to operate in. And that sucks.
Yeah. Yeah. It would be better if it was just, It either needs to be way more aggressive or off completely, I feel like, you know, like it's just to have some sort of consistency because it's the inconsistency is what is the worst possible thing. Right.
Exactly. Yeah. Especially if a system is stepping in and not giving you an indication, like for lane crossing and stuff like that, you get the jiggles on the steering wheel, sometimes the butt, sometimes the beep. Right. But you can always get that consistently. Yeah,
for sure.
Hmm.
Anyway.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm sorry you had a bummer Toyota, Ian.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Should we do an album of the week?
Absolutely, buddy.
Close this thing out?
Yeah. Oh, wait. Hang on 1 second.
Hello, Toyota.
That's from our Toyota Crown video. Yeah. I'll put a link in the description.
Yeah.
We have fun with that
one. It's the best. Maybe the best thing we've ever done.
Okay. All right. What do you got cooking up for us?
This was suggested to me via Instagram, actually, and I am a sucker for it. I really like it.
Okay.
It is an album called I Too Am a Stranger by The Sorcerers.
Okay.
I believe they are Ethiopian, maybe?
Leeds, UK.
Or UK. But it's very sort of Afrobeat-y jazz sort of thing.
Oh, okay.
Like if you liked like the Sons of Kemet stuff.
Yeah.
Or things like that, you'll like this.
Okay.
It's really, really good. I've been digging it the last couple of days.
Okay. I will check this out. Yeah, I like some Afrobeat stuff every now and then, for sure.
Yeah, it's great. I really like it.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, check this out.
Yeah, they got a Bandcamp. I'm going to put that link in the YouTube description as well as Apple Music and Spotify for sure.
Yeah.
Cool, man.
New. It just came out this year. So
nice.
Check it out.
Love a good Bandcamp find for sure, man. Nice. Cool. I like that. Okay.
Dave, I think we done did a car show.
We had rat beef. We squashed it.
Yeah.
Right? We ate squash as we discussed our rat beef.
Beef with a side of squash.
There you go. Yes. Yeah, we saw the highs and lows of Facebook Marketplace.
We did.
We learned that people may want to give us more money on Patreon to buy dumb shit. And
the dumbest. The dumbest
we kind of might do it. Text us 720-515-1391. If you have fuck you money you just want to throw at us, sure, we'll take it.
Great.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I like it.
Yeah.
Dave, we did it. You did it. We all did it. Everybody, thank you. We love you. Goodbye.